Well, there's been a big stink up with the Covington kids, the Covington High School, and the Native American drummer who got in their face. But the most alarming part is the pile-on, this leftist pile-on condemning these kids, even by Catholic voices, people being very vocal, and then having to eat crow later on when the full story comes out. Here with me today is my co-host, Timothy Gordon. What do you think about this big mess?
There's a lot to say here. That's what I think. And we're in a sort of phase two in this thing. Phase one was the way you're going to hear it, a video, which allegedly, according to the sources, we're now having to apologize, allegedly, wasn't clear, according to the popular account, that this video was condemning of the American Indian man, Nathan Phillips. Allegedly, it was, incriminating, even though it's not a crime to smirk at someone drumming in your face. It was incriminating of this kid, Nick Sandman. And then phase two, allegedly, was a second part of the video comes out, which vindicates the kid somewhat. And that's all you hear. And so people are saying sorry. So on the shot clock, I'm way above the game here. When I first saw video one, I was like talking to you, Taylor. We were from the store, and I didn't think it was that big a deal, so I wasn't that interested. But I was all along like, this is clear. I don't know what everyone's saying here. This kid did nothing wrong, right? You could tell what's going on in video one. We should at least roll video one, the short one.
You want to roll it?
Let's roll it.
Okay.
So what you see there, people, now that I'm starting phase three here on TNT, and you're gonna note that phase two is just as incomplete as phase one was in terms of the analysis, right? This kid didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do a damn thing wrong.
Yeah, but he wore a MAGA hat, Tim.
That's right. That's listen. This is what he did wrong. He wore a MAGA hat. My wife and
I
were going
through
this.
By the way, I don't even care. I own one. We're in Texas, yeah. People. It's like wearing jeans here.
I know. Out in California here, my wife wants to wear one, and I say, we got civil unrest in California, and I'm known to.
Yeah, you're straight out of Compton College.
Down. Right. So it's wild. It's wild. But that's really what it is. So you have this. Here's what the situation is as we go into phase three. The kid wasn't apologized to until it became completely obvious that he had been called some of the worst. Look at me, everyone. The worst things imaginable, like 5 minutes before this tape rolled, A. And B, until this Indian man, Nathan Phillips, had gotten in his face. There is actual contact made in the new video where he's banging a drum, which is a weapon, by the way.
Yeah, he walks up to it's not a
the
weapon.
Drum. The drum is touching.
We gotta
the
be careful on this, Tim,
point.
Because people do the same things to us. Like, he bumped into me. That's assault. I don't want to get into where we're like a drum is a weapon. Let's just. I mean, come on.
No, when you know how it is. You're a guy. You.
Oh yeah, I would have rolled. I would have rolled. I wouldn't have put up with it. But I wouldn't say that he. That the drum was a weapon and that was assault. I mean, I'm all about like we can settle things as men. We don't need the cops for everything. We need some like
I'm not even
community policing. I don't want to get into this like real litigious and like raise the bar really high where. You can assault people with a drum.
Neither do I. We're not saying, all you could get is damages anyway. So it's not even, you throw it out as a civil claim because nothing happened to his shoulder. But do you understand what's happening to this kid now? He's being doxxed. He's having his personal relationship.
Oh, it's horrific. It's horrific.
His information has been revealed. Look at me, son.
They're basically saying he's a Ku Klux Klansman at this point.
Right. He did nothing. He did perfect. If you watch the video surrounding before and after.
Yeah, no,
he's literally telling his buddy not to do anything. I mean, he was like a pacifist practically.
Right.
Look, buddy, you never, ever back down. If there are any of your friends and family, a Covington High fans of TNT,
shout out.
Visit us. You never back down. You did nothing wrong. Your apology was fine, but there's nothing in your apology that's even necessitated by what you did. There's nothing you did. You have no one and nothing to fear, and you should back down from no one. And they're getting, I mean, it is an absolute pitiable hate crime. What's happening to this kid? You got all for celebrities, sure. Catholics and non-Catholics, engaged in one thing. Old-fashioned American hatred of Catholicism. Because, see, he's mixed, this kid, he's mixed in with all of the wrong groups, right? The old one, the old American, see, all the old American hate groups, Catholics, whatever, Jews, all the Ku Klux Klan targets, blacks, there's only one that's still fashionable to hate.
That's right.
It's Catholics.
That's right.
And now he's mixed in with all the new post-enlightenment
hate groups
as well.
It's completely okay to make fun of a Catholic.
Yeah. Oh, to call them.
Actually, there is one exception. Have you noticed that in movies they still make fun of Asians?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
still
you can. I was gonna say it's Catholics and Asian. If you're an Asian Catholic, man, I'm sorry, because they still make fun of Asians based on racial profiles, and it's humorous, right? But there's none of the PC stuff that goes on with that, unfortunately, right? It's crazy.
It's loving though. It's loving.
It's maybe admirable
ribbing of Asians.
Yeah.
But when you are a white, yeah.
I was going to say, can we like take a moment on Native American and Indian too? Because people, if you say Indian, right, people are like, that's racist, and they get all up in your case. You know, it's like, what can we even say anymore? But I was recently, this summer, we did a family cycling trip in South Dakota. We went to Mount Rushmore. It was awesome. Family cycling, all the kids riding bikes and everything all day long. And we went to the to this giant Native American, I don't know what to call it. It wasn't a reserve. It was
shrine?
Just,
oh, yeah, reservation?
No, it wasn't a reservation. Anyway, they had performances and they had their art and they had museums and it was really cool. I could have spent all day there. And they had a presentation and one of the elders got up and he said, you know, we petitioned all of our original grants and everything we asked, and we used the term Indian, and we're not offended by that. If you want to call us Native American Indian or Native American or it's 2 a.m. and I'm only halfway
Native?
Through. I was trying to remember the tribe, but it's not coming to my mind. He's like, all these are permissible, just so you know, when you ask questions and talk. And I was like, that's cool. Like, you know, he's not like setting us all up no matter what we say, we're like in trouble, we're a racist, you know?
Right.
And he brought up the point that their original documentation and their treaties with the U.S. government, and all these things say Indian. And so they proudly affirm it because that's what their deals are on, right? So sure. I just want to say that at the beginning. I mean, these were like level-headed, nice, intelligent Native American Indians who are just letting us know that in the year 2018.
Got it.
Just so in case anyone in the comments are like, y'all are racist, you're using the word Indian. I just want to put that out there.
I also want to put this out there. I don't go around using epithets, right? My neck's not red. I'm not hateful. But I also want to put it out there that I don't really care what people want to be called. I'm not, if I call somebody something, it's the intention is not to hurt or to offend.
Yeah, why you always call me a Mitt Catholic, Tim? Why you call me a Mitt Catholic?
Right. Well, I know some of your other background, too.
Right, exactly, right. You really get after it.
But I mean, no. The point of fact, too, is I don't really care much. I don't really care what you call me. Do you call me a European American? I mean, or a white American or an American from the Caucasus? It's like, well, I'm not from the Caucasus Mountains in Russia. So I go Indian. I guess that's comforting to hear, but except everyone's out there tripping over themselves, you know, using the funny names for, you know, the funny politically correct jargon. is a man, a woman. You can call me Mrs. You can call me ma'am.
We should just name it for what it is. This is, again, weaponized ambiguity in our culture, where there's an ambiguity on terminology, and we can't keep up with. You have to like go get a stud, go get studies in this. You have to go get a bachelor's degree in this to keep up with the labels. And if you aren't up with it, you are racist and evil and immoral. That's how, that's the discourse in America now.
Right. That's the purpose of it.
Yeah. But if a 85-year-old grandpa says, you know, the nicest Oriental lady at the supermarket said to me, the grandkids go, oh, grandpa said Oriental, you know, and it's like this big crisis.
I mean, it's from the east, from the far east.
It's Latin from the east. It's actually correct. But we've been told now that to say that is somehow racist, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's this.
Yeah, ad orientem to the east. So it's this idea that the terms keep changing. And, you know, like Jordan Peterson has said this before, whether you like him or not, you know, that they're using the terms to make accusations against you.
Right.
Especially when it comes to gender.
Right.
And all the terminology they use. I mean, golly, can you imagine being an employer and if you have someone who's transgendered keeping up with all this stuff?
Yep. It's that's the purpose of it.
It's the purpose of it.
It's weaponized confusion even more than weaponized ambiguity. It's like, but look, here's what I think every news outfit that I've seen so far, including the putatively hugely right-leaning Fox News, has missed this. This is why I'm saying there should be a phase three in the analysis here. It's not only was Nathan Phillips, the Indian, not only did he lie, outright slander, and I've talked about how hard slander is to prove up compared to libel. He lied. He bald-faced lied. It's shown now in this video that he went up to the kid, got in his face. The kid didn't know what to do. The kid's like, whoa, what do I do? This guy's getting in my face. They're waiting for a bus. He went on one of the major networks, and he was saying that the kid got in his face, and he was saying the kid wouldn't get out of his way. Nick Sandman, he said, I didn't know what to do, so I just kept banging the drum. These kids were going to tear into me. The new videos, for one thing, that was never apparently the case in video one. Video two, he lied. He slandered this kid, saying that he thought the kid was going to tear into him. This is the unicorn, really, really strong slander case. So this kid, this guy is a liar. He outright provoked the conflict about 4 or 5 minutes after these four hateful, racist pieces of garbage were calling all this whole group in MAGA hats of pro-life demonstrating Catholic kids who we need to come to the defense of more robustly than is being done right now. They're calling them some of the worst names. I don't know if you saw this. They're calling them inbred. They're calling them gads, which is some made up neologism they think is really good.
What is a gad? Can we say what that is? I don't know what that is.
Gad's a false god. These are the African Israelites, which is an extreme group. Let me read you some of the things they were saying about these kids about 4, 5,
Wait,
6
so
minutes
gads
before
is
this
a real,
kid came up.
Is gad a real group?
No, the African Israelites is a real group. And unless you've seen these guys, what they are saying, they're pointing out, look, this is what I was saying at the beginning. They're white, pro-life, male,
Catholics,
allegedly privileged demonstrators against Roe versus Wade. They check all the boxes wearing MAGA hats. And so these guys come up to them, and this is the context under which the auspices under which Nathan Phillips involves himself and is picking on these kids further. He's a damnable liar, if you ask me. These guys are calling him. They're saying these are inbreds, a bunch of incest babies, a bunch of babies made out of incest. They're making fun of the fact that they're Catholics. They're insulting race, color, creed, everything. Says this child molesting faggot priest right here, direct quote. He says, that's made America great again, a bunch of child molesting faggots. And he says, look at all these dusty ass crackers with all that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty ass crackers. That sentence alone is why we're through the looking glass. I think America's done. It's been brainwashed.
There's no outrage about this.
No, this is the point.
Yeah.
There's no. Okay, wait. They're doxing this kid. Look at me, kid. You don't back down from anyone. Anyone who knows him, any Catholics in the area, Knights of Columbus, you need to be bodyguard for this kid. You need to be standing near his house. Anyone that messes with this kid, we're Catholics, right? We gotta come to the rescue of this guy. All the homosexual, hate that's coming out of the mouths of these hateful pieces of garbage that are saying this to this kid. That's bad. We don't endorse that. But look, they have a special interest lobby, right? Like the homosexual lobby in America is powerful. It's strong. Why are you not going after those guys?
Exactly.
That's your thing, not mine. Yeah, but I'm a Catholic, and I want this kid protected.
They're using a string of anti-homosexual terminology as pejorative.
Well, they're getting away with saying it.
Oh, I know. There's a double standard here.
This kid smirked at an Indian guy who was banging crap in his face, and everyone was going nuts. And I want to address this next once we get all the facts out there. But like all the Catholics that jumped on.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Quote unquote conservatives, Bill Kristol, you had Robert P. George, just everyone fashionable. Everyone jumped on this kid from the first video, and now they're trying to say, well, it wasn't apparent. It was crystal clear what was going on from that video, and it was confirmed by 2 and 3. But you never, ever, we're talking about rebuttable presumptions, right? Someone from your group, a conservative Catholic pro-life kid from a Catholic school, you never, ever jump to the conclusion that they're wrong. This is a pro-lifer. This is a kid that took his Saturday and went to go demonstrate. I work with these kids all day long, right? And these are our people, right? You have to protect your own people. And of course, if he did something really wrong, if he used, you know, a third, a fourth, a fifth of the pejorative language, hateful language that these pieces of garbage are.
He'd be crucified.
He'd be crucified, and even we would have to, if he used 1/5, 20% of the hate that these guys used, we would have to be like, okay, pump the brakes. We presumed he was good because he's pro-life, but he didn't do anything. This kid behaved, aside from the fact that if it was my son, I would have been like, you never let someone get in your personal space like that. We could talk about that later. But other than that, it was textbook. He even told the kid to back off at one point when another younger, more hostile Indian came up and was shouting the F word in their face. But this is all following upon this interaction with these hateful African Israelite guys, calling them a bunch of incest babies, a bunch of future school shooters, making fun of race, color, creed, everything, saying the most hateful things. And so it's into this situation that Nathan Phillips casts himself. He's drumming. He comes right into the kid's face.
I never got this part of the story. Is he just at the March for Life? Is he there to participate? Is he there to provoke? Why is he there with the drum? Have we got this part of the story?
They're all these counter protesters are there. Kind of like when I go to the San Francisco Walk for Life this upcoming weekend. It's not the same deal at the Los Angeles one. It's kind of boring. There are no counter protesters. But I guess this year at the DC one, there are all these groups in counter protest that just go the same day because they can mess with some Catholic kids.
Right.
I suppose that's what it is. We're in phase three now. No one will talk about it. No one will talk about how this is how messed up the country is, right?
Right.
With anti-establishment, anti-white, anti-male hatred. They make a big deal because the kid smirks.
One of the tweets going on, I can't remember who said it, was, have you ever seen such a punchable face?
Punchable face.
Who was that? Said that? Was it just a rando?
Yes, it was Rava.
But it was going
like
around.
That. It was getting retweeted like a million times. And punch this kid in the face. For what? And people were saying, you know, look at Kathy Griffin's tweet. You can't even tweet. You can't even repeat this stuff. Look at all the CNN reporters' tweets. Look at the Catholics like Robert George. Look at Rod Dreher. They're throwing this kid under the bus, right? For no reason.
Let's pause and talk about Rod Dreher and talk about Robert George. You want to?
Let's.
Yeah.
Let's.
So, I Roger was the crunchy con, and he did, great work for the original scandal in the U.S. and basically broke open the McCarrick story before anyone knew about it, but he couldn't get anybody to go on the record. So it just sort of died with him, right? And I think along the way, he struggled. And, I mean, dude, Tim, you and I, we do these videos. We talk about all this filth in the church. And I got to be honest, and I'm sure people watching, like, it affects you a little bit. You know, like, is this the bride of Christ? Is this the one true Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church? Like, it bothers you. So I can, I'm not leaving, but I can understand kind of the psychology that Roger went through. And, I kind of like it. I'm not a huge Benedict option guy. I don't want to go live by a monastery in a yurt or in an apartment or in the middle of nowhere and just sort of live that way. I think we should be in the culture, and I think we should be making videos and engaging and fighting back like we're doing today. So I'm not really into the Benedict option. But he's Eastern Orthodox now, so put him aside. But Robert George, I mean, maybe I'm going to get in trouble for this.
Well, wait, can I say something? Can I say something about Dreher before you go to Robbie P. George? Yeah, and we got to watch our backs here, Catholic establishment.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, we did a video on this. It's hard for me to respect leaving the Western Roman Church just because of a bunch of misbehaving, disgusting malfeasors, right? I don't get the impulse at all. We do these videos every day. It's disgusting stuff. Probably we haven't even heard the worst of it, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But neither one of us, I don't want to give too much credit here. Neither one of us, you or I, we talk about it all the time, has ever even been tempted to leave. I mean, I've been tempted to go hit a wall lots of times or speak too harshly. That's what most of my confessions are. It involves harsh language. I get upset, but it's just a bunch of criminals that have come into the priesthood, unfortunately. That makes me mad. That's, like even Pope Francis said, someone insults your mother, Mother Church, you punch him in the nose. Like one of a small handful of statements he's made that I love, off the cuff. But yeah, that doesn't make me, so I don't understand. I mean, I know everyone sort of, Catholics seem to worship at the altar of Rod Dreher. He does good work. I think he's a smart guy, but I don't know. There's a judgment thing, I think, when you leave.
Yeah, I mean, so many conservative Catholics and friends of mine praise and just love Rod Dreher. But I mean, if we're going to be like ecclesiastical and traditional and use the words even of canon law, he is an apostate. Can we say that? He's an apostate. Yeah. He's left the communion of the church, and no one wants to say that. And Rod Dreher, if you're watching, love you, man. Like, great work and good insights, except for on this Covington thing. Yeah. But
oops.
Come back to the church.
Yes.
Having a Judas priest or a Judas bishop or a Judas archbishop or a Judas cardinal or a Judas pope does not invalidate the Catholic faith. So
it does nothing. I mean, this is what we talk about all the time. It does zero to invalidate it. And you know this, bro. Like, you're a smart guy. You're capable of getting it. So come back to the church and then help us defend our Catholic kids.
Right.
I want to talk about that today. Everyone's got their special interest group that defends them. I would defend someone outside my quote unquote, political action group. But we need people that'll come back and not throw this kid under the bus. So come back and get it right from the first time. I saw your apology. It's kind of an unpology, like I tweeted out a day or a day and a half ago. It's an unpology to say, oh, I was wrong, but look at the facts. This is what made me be wrong. I saw that first video. You're just wrong. How about that, dude? That's all I'm saying. It's not the end of the world. But take it back and be like, it was bad judgment on my part. It was bad prudence, which is what it was for all these dudes. You wanted to go on to Robert P. George or Bill Crystal.
Yeah, I mean, so another person who's lionized in the Catholic right is Dr. Professor Robert George. And I've met him, and he's done some good work, and he's written some great defenses on marriage. everybody hails him as like a supernatural law, you know, philosopher, which, you know, he's kind of more on the new natural law side of things.
Strongly.
Not a fan. We need to do a show on that at some point.
Let's do it.
Old natural law, the traditional Thomistic natural law versus the modified new natural law.
There's only one.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only one, right. Baby. Only right. Game in town.
Right. So that's a problem. But I, you know, it just seems to me that in the last several years, especially the last couple years, I followed Robert George on Twitter and more closely. And, you know, he's like hanging out with James Martin and, you know, some of his tweets and all that. It's just like he wants to be liked and loved and appreciated by the left. Right.
Yes.
And yes, we want to evangelize those who disagree of church teaching and who are on the left side of things. Yes. Agreed. And we love them all. I don't care about being accepted or respected by them. That's not part of evangelizing people. And so that bothers me. Right. I'm worried about that, you know, right. and when I see him piling on, it bothers me. And then of course, right. James Martin piled on, which is not at all surprising. And I, you know, here's a guy, James Martin, and I never say father because father is a term of endearment, right? Here's a guy who celebrates people attending pride parades where men are wearing thongs and right. simulating certain acts in public in front of children. He celebrates that and promotes that. And yet he's dogging on Twitter a pro-life kid wearing a MAGA hat.
Right.
At a protest right. for ending the legalization of abortion in the United States of America.
Right.
The inconsistency here, and for a priest to make this inconsistent condemnation of a kid wearing a MAGA hat at a pro-life rally, and then also at the same time applauding people for going to these pride events, parades, is diabolical. It makes no sense. There's no reason James Martin should be walking around with a collar on right now. No, no
for
way.
Sure.
But I want to say also, yes, it's the Jesuits. Yes, they should reel in James Martin. But listen, the Jesuits get hundreds of letters every week
right.
about James Martin, how he's a problem. People are writing the Jesuits all the time on James Martin, just like people wrote letters about the great Father Mark Goring, right? If you're a prominent priest or a prominent religious or a prominent layman, the letters and emails and tweets come in all the day long. That's just part of the gig. There's right. always someone who hates you, right? But the thing about the Jesuits is they back up Martin.
Right.
It's a headache.
That's right.
It takes more administrative personnel to handle it, right? Constantly That's having true. To deal with his events and the controversy around James Martin. But you know what? They man up and deal with it for James Martin because they believe in James Martin's cause.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is a message for our Catholic lay people, our Catholic parents, Catholic dads, and Catholic priests. Are we trying as hard as the Jesuits and James Martin to hold up pro-life, to hold up traditional marriage, to hold up chastity, to hold up no sex before marriage, to hold up contraception as a sin?
And to defend the kid. Look, these are controversial issues in the culture, right? And to when a kid goes out and puts it on the line, 17-year-old puts it on the line, puts his Saturday aside. It's like you're saying, it's almost admirable when one of yours goes out and represents the cause. Well, now I don't like the Jesuit cause by and large, but the Catholic cause, which is even bigger than SJ, the Catholic cause, this should be universalizing. I want to go take it a little different direction from what I'm normally saying and say, look, Martin's apology was better than a lot of the so-called conservative Catholics. Now, that's not saying much. It's a low bar. But this ought to be an issue that, on the basis of what you just said, we ought to defend our controversial champions.
Yeah, we don't throw them out.
The Jesuits, they're worth defending.
The Jesuits don't throw out Martin. They double down on Martin. And here's where I'm going to get people going, oh, Marshall said that. Listen. Where is James Martin. He's in New York City. And yes, he's under the Jesuits as his superior, but he's in the Archdiocese of New York. And that means he is under Cardinal Dolan. And if Cardinal Dolan wanted to do something about Martin, he could do it canonically.
Right, right.
So this is at the feet of the superior of the Jesuits. It's at the feet of Dolan, people. If you don't like Martin having free reign and promoting all of his ideas, write a letter to the Jesuits, write a letter to Dolan. Because New York City is the hub, and that's where he's at, and that's where he's got free reign, and the bishop lets him go, lets him live. That bishop's name is Cardinal Dolan. That's it.
Got it.
And he also spoke at a papal event. So while you're at it, the Pope as well, Pope Francis. But this is the problem, right? And here's the thing. Dolan provides cover for Martin. The Jesuits, the archdiocese, liberal priests and bishops all over the country, as Bishop Strickland pointed out, invite him into the diocese. So they are going out and spending their money and spending their time to provide cover and protection and backing for a guy like James Martin. But yet here's our young man at the pro-life, and our leadership throws him under the bus. Some of these priests and bishops, and people who are prominent Catholics who are condemning this Covington kid, I've heard more from them on the Covington kid than I have heard about McCarrick.
Right.
Oh, our church is messed up, Tim.
Yeah, the church is messed up and the country is messed up. And I mean, look at these statements made by the group. This is by the principal, Laura Keener, of his school at Covington. This behavior is opposed to the church. Remember what that first video showed now.
I know.
These are fellow Catholics. It showed him doing nothing wrong. And the other videos just added heroism to his forbearance. This behavior is opposed to the church's teachings on dignity and respect of the human person. The matter is being investigated and we will take appropriate action up to and including expulsion. This kid did nothing in that first video, right?
Right.
She goes on to say, get this, this is really offensive and people need to, I mean, more than is even happening now, need to come down on this principle and pressure her. You tossed a 17-year-old kid under the bus and his family. She said, we know this incident also has tainted the entire witness of the March for Life. What?
That's the agenda, dude. That's the agenda.
That's the agenda.
Yeah.
All right. And we express our most sincere apologies to all those who attended the March for Life and all those who support the pro-life movement. No one is there to support this kid. No, I mean, and now, even though things have turned, phase two, no one's jumping after the look what you have. You have everyone jumping, piling on a kid, you know, feminists from Bryn Mawr, you see on MSNBC saying it's a morality play and they're getting to use all the gay little metaphors. They're saying all this because a kid smirked. Like that smirk on a white kid stands for something. He did nothing even the first video. This, but they're saying he's a horrible, you know, damnable racist. But then an earlier part of the video comes out. Get this, we're through the looking glass. And there are actual racists screaming the word faggot, screaming like white bread, inbred.
Cracker.
Cracker. Cracker is the equivalent of pick any of these other words. It's no better. You call me a cracker, see what happens.
Right.
Right? This kid forbear that. He underwent that. He took it like a champ. And now it's just, oh, we're sorry, kid. Whoa. Let's dox. I want everyone out there to dox these four pieces of garbage saying that. They just, it's understood now in our culture that if you're a white kid and you smirk, you're going down unless something else comes out. What if the other part of the video never came out? He would have been screwed just for smirking. But now the other part does come out. It shows actual racists saying actual hateful garbage. And now people are like, okay, no business as usual. We're sort of sorry to this kid.
My bad. But, they're like, my bad.
Yeah, my bad. But it's like, wait a minute. Don't you hate the racists? I thought you hated racists.
Yeah.
Go find out where those pieces
only,
of garbage
only
live.
Teenage white racists. Here's part of the problem, too, is they hate when they show young people at the March for Life.
They hate it.
They want it to be old, curmudgeonly people who
women.
Just don't get it.
Yeah. Old women clutching their beads.
Or old men. Or celibate priest or something like that, right? People are just not right. with it.
Right.
That's what they want it to be. And you go to the March for Life. I've been several times. We should go next year, Tim. Maybe we should plan on it.
We should do it.
And go hang with the, we should do it. We should hang with the Covington kids.
Yeah, we should do that. I would love to do that.
So it's young, man. I'm almost wanting to say like 40% teen, or you know, maybe 50% teen. It's very young. There's a lot of young people out there, and I think they hate that. It's a big march, man. It's huge.
It's big.
It's huge. Also,
it's
this
like
year
half a million.
we had President Trump addressing the march.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, I was there, you know, I was at the march in like 06, 07, 08, maybe 09. And I remember when it was still George W. Bush era, that it was a big deal that the vice president might address the March for Life. The
I VP, remember too.
The VP might. It was like, oh my goodness, like the March for Life is actually recognized that the VP might say a word.
I remember that.
The president of the United States of America is calling in on this thing. It's a big deal. And here's all these Catholic clergy just twiddling on their thumb, like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
It is a big deal that the president of the United States of America is acknowledging it. And
well, why would President Bush go out there? He's got a pro-abortion wife, I think daughter or daughter.
Yeah, we all know George W. Bush totally just tricked us all.
Ain't a
right?
conservative. Yeah. Yeah, come on, dude. Yeah, he's not. He's nothing.
So
look, and then Trump even tweets out, looking like Nick Salmon and Covington Catholic students were treated unfairly with early judgments proving out to be false, smeared by media. Not good, but making big comeback! Exclamation point. New footage shows that media was wrong about teens' encounter with Native American, and then he cited Tucker Carlson, who did great work.
Yeah, Tucker's
Tucker
great.
Did a good piece on
Tucker's
this.
Great.
I love Tucker.
We should try to interview Tucker. Wouldn't that be great?
I would love to do it.
Yeah.
I'd love to do it. And you know, Coffin got the interview. Maybe Coffin can hook us up with Tucker.
But you know, Tucker Carlson's quickly becoming the sane voice in America.
At Fox News, he's the sane voice. Because there aren't that many other sane people at Fox. There aren't that many other conservatives at Fox News people.
Right.
You hear me?
I think everybody knows that now.
It's as conservative as Bush. Do people know that now? Because they need to know that if they don't know.
They don't. They just found out here on TNT.
Yeah, that's right. Tucker used a great expression. He was saying, "Oh, how comforting it is to be confirmed in our biases," and that's what he was talking about, exactly what we are here. He's like, "It's a white kid, it's a pro-life kid, it's a Catholic kid." We need to devote a little time to this today.
Yeah,
that anti-Catholicism, the reason for being of the second and third wave Ku Klux Klan, is not blacks. That was first wave Ku Klux Klan, Civil War era. The second and third wave Ku Klux Klan is devoted to anti-Catholicism, right?
Yeah.
So this kid's
and the KKK
wrong color.
Originally was not just against blacks. It was also against Jews and Catholics. The three enemies of the KKK are black people, Jewish people, Catholic people.
Yes. But starting when it was reformed in the early 20th century, it was past slavery. It was almost exclusively Catholics, which
and
people don't.
The KKK is based on a Protestant theology. It's a Protestant movement. We should say
Protestant
that as well.
And largely Masonic.
Yeah.
A membership in the South.
Right.
There's this great book. I'm always talking about it. Philip Hamburger, legal scholar's book, Church and State. He shows how closely aligned the ideologies of Southern Protestantism, KKK, the interests of even weird groups you wouldn't expect like ACLU, with the Masons were in producing separation of church and state in America as codified in 1947. But so Tucker's saying, look, these people all wanted to be confirmed in their biases. These people out there that all the sap conservatives, we've mentioned a few of them that got duped. But also, we didn't mention Bill Kristol, National Review, all ran some really hard-hitting, really, really punchy lines against this kid, Nick Sandman, and really went after him after that first video. What video are you looking at? I mean, they really went after him. Go look up what Bill Kristol said and what National Review canceled an article with a really strong title. I forget what it is. But so these saps came out, and these are like the useful idiots, Lenin's useful idiots, that are lining up with the left, suspending what they already know about everything, the state of the union, the state of the world, state of the church in 2019. It's a pro-life kid. He goes up against some counter-protester who's counter-protesting a pro-life march or picked a day to do a protest, coextensive protest. Give me a break. You always is a rebuttable presumption. You might go back on it later the way they had to. But you always say, well, I'm going to side with my person until, you know, this pro-life kid, 17-year-old kid, yeah, looks like a good dude. He doesn't have a punchable face. Right. I work with kids like this every day. And the ones that go and graduate and the ones that actually have some chutzpah like this kid, I maintain contact with. Yep. These are my people. See, I'm sick of hearing about all these other interest groups. These are our Catholic kids.
Yep.
And they're not kids of privilege. We don't know. I don't know how privileged his background is. If he is, good for him. I'm happy. That's good. Like President Trump would say. But Crystal and National Review, Robert P. George, Rod Dreher, he's getting it from all over. And everyone in the so-called right, all these moderate right wingers, right? We used to call them rhinos, you know, chinos, you know, Catholics in name only, even the ones that go to church, were jumping on this kid's case because they were joining in inexplicably with the left. The left loves it. They're confirming their biases. A comfortable thing.
There's this trendy thing. And like you kind of see, like I said before, in guys like, you know, Dreher or Robert George, where I'm really conservative, I'm pro-life, but I also am accepted by all of these compassionate liberals.
Right.
And I go to dinner parties with them too, as if that's supposed to mean anything. And let me just say, the liberals aren't the compassionate ones. They're not the ones supporting the charities. They're not the ones supporting the single mothers. They're not doing any of that. If you look at the data, it's the conservatives.
They're not the ones who eliminated slavery or segregation.
Right. It was the compassionate conservatives who did all of that.
Right. They were the ones propagating all these hates.
Exactly.
Right? So they're not. Yeah, exactly. It's the kiss of death.
Do not ever. You know, I hate also when we say, well, if you know, it's the liberals, they're the ones who have the mercy and the compassion. And it's not true. We conservatives need to stop. Catholics need to stop saying that.
Stop it.
It is not true. The other thing is,
we are mercy and justice.
That's right. We are losing our Catholic young people like crazy. And I've talked about this before. You know, 81% of the people in America who leave the Catholic Church, they do it between the ages of 14 and 21, right? We're losing our Catholic young people. Go to a mass on Sunday, folks, at just a Novus Ordo church off the street and look around. There is more gray hair than there are teenagers in all these churches. There are exceptions. Somebody out there is going to say, well, my church. Okay, fine. Most churches, it's gray. The demographics are not good, people. We are losing. I've shown graphs before on this show. Just go back into our catalog of mass attendance. Yeah. The lowest or the biggest drop-off in mass attendance are for people under 30.
Well, look how we treat
them. We're losing them. Yeah, no, that's my point. And so here we have teenagers who are not only Catholic, not only going to a Catholic school, which is rare, are also openly pro-life and are spending their weekend to do something just, which is to stand up at the March for Life and say, we need to change America. We need to be a pro-life nation. Checking all the boxes as good. This is a rare thing to see a teenager do this. And what do these priests and conservatives throw the kid under the bus?
Throw the kid under the bus with there's no evidence to convict. And I'm just sick of that. So that's the death knell. That's the last time I'm going to say it. I've said it about 10 times here today. There's nothing even ostensibly wrong, even evidently wrong in the first video. The second and third videos with Surface just showed that things were even more odious.
What if we switched it, Tim, where we're now at the pink beep hat march with women, right? And they have their pink hats on. and they're all there, and you've got Madonna giving her speech, and you know, all the, who else, Ashley Judd, and all these people, right? And what if a man, me, Taylor Marshall, walks up, and I got a MAGA hat on, and I got a drum, and I go rest it on a woman's arm and start beating it in her face,
staring her down, walking up, and then you lie and you say that into your face.
Yeah.
Who the hell believes that, right? Who would believe
would
that?
Would there be anyone on the left? Would there be anyone on the left coming after her and saying she was the aggressor? Would our conservatives all of a sudden rally and throw her under the bus? No.
Of course not. Of course not.
Of course not.
We know how it is. We eat our own. The Catholic Church eats its own, right? When you go directly from the molestation scandal re-upping in the Summer of Shame 2018 to this. It's not a good look, is it?
Not a good look at
now,
all.
Now, a bunch of the bishops, all the powerful lay people are throwing this pro-life champ, Nick Sandman, under the bus. His school's talking about expulsion. Yeah. Whatever that principal's stupid name is, you should be ashamed of yourself. Do you understand me? Talking about expulsion for what?
She should be let go.
She should be let go. Out. Cut her loose. Cut her loose. That's not acceptable. He did nothing wrong on the first video. The other parts of the video might never have surfaced. We have to have people out there in leadership.
You know what we need?
Can use their brain.
We need bishops. Because what is our leadership as Catholics? It's the episcopate.
The bishops.
The bishop of D.C., who technically the guy in charge right now is a guy named Cardinal Wuerl.
Wuerl.
The Bishop of D.C., I know, should have been on a news camera saying, you know what, this young man, I stand by him. I'm proud of him for being a Catholic. I'm proud of him for being at the March for Life and Standing for Life. It's an unfortunate event, but we see everything that happened here, and he was obviously targeted out. But as the Bishop of D.C., I just want to say good job to this young man, and I'm sorry this happened to you, and we stand by you. Boom, that's what should happen. Cardinal Wuerl.
That's what should happen. Does.
That's what dads do. That's what fathers do. And a bishop should be a father, not a CEO. Secondly, this young man's bishop back home in Kentucky. I don't even know who it is. Do you know who it is?
I don't.
Anyway,
I think there's only
he
one.
He should
from
be standing.
State.
He should be. It's. He should be standing up and saying the exact same thing.
Because
if it were my son, I'd be saying that on this camera right here. Because cameras are cheap, people. You can get one. And you can put up a video on the internet and thousands of people watch them. That's how things work nowadays. And saying that about my son and defending my son. That's what dads do. That's what leaders do. We don't eat our own.
Well, that's what we're trying to do now. Now, I wish that we don't shoot on weekends, people, here on TNT. We're a family program. And so and I was out and about
shopping
all day.
Honor the Lord's Day.
Yeah, but literally, I was talking to you about your. We were just talking about stuff while I was out and about. I was running errands with the fam all day on Saturday, and I was seeing some of this on the phone. And I was like, "This kid's not wrong." And I thought to myself, "Oh, I wish we could shoot this." This is before the video. When did the second video hit? Was it Sunday?
I can't remember.
I mean, I was like, "We should." I thought to myself, "This would be a great ground for a video."
I first saw it. I was like, "This is not a story. Why are people making a big deal?" That was even before the correction came out. And then when the correction came out, I was like, "Man, what a joke this is!"
What a joke! But I wish you and I had been on the sticks, did a video with just me saying what I said to the first video. Like, people get off this kid's back. People in his area, big tough Catholic dudes, the Knights of Columbus. Why? Your reason for being is because Catholics were the number one hate group in this Protestant country.
And the Knights of Columbus were supposed to counter the Freemasons. That's the whole point of their origin.
That's right.
Are you a knight? Are you a knight? Now, being a Knight of Columbus is like super like right wing crazy. It's just so dumb.
Yeah.
These guys drink beer and occasionally play pool and go bowling.
Right.
And make pancakes after mass.
Yeah, exactly. It's lost some of its edge. A lot of the knights in my church are kind of older, often portly gentlemen with long beards. I mean, that's cool. Do it. It's good stuff. But look, this should not just be for Knights of Columbus. And this should not. All Catholics need to come together and support this kid. The Novus Ordo kid. We're all about the unity, contrary to what some people think about this show. Novus Ordo Catholics. Even liberal Catholics, if you know, contradiction in terms like James Martin, now he's apologizing. You want to apologize? why don't you come out in full support of this kid? I mean, all the kind of right-wing splinter groups, it's become a major issue. I didn't realize how big this issue was until Sunday morning, getting up, and I saw, we need to come together and rally around this kid. We need to not be the Catholic Church that eats its own, that threatens expulsion. That's a big deal for a good kid.
Because the principal was more concerned about her reputation and the reputation of the school than she was about one of her own students.
That's right.
And you know what? Leadership. And you know what that is? That's the same thing we saw with McCarrick and Wuerl. They're more concerned about their reputation and the reputation of the church than they are about protecting young people.
Young individuals. And that, my friend, is why the family is the single cell of society. Because in a proper functioning family, I don't give a damn if this is my son. I feel like he's my son. I feel like this kid's my son. I want to protect him. I want to physically protect him. I want his friends to rally around him.
Take him out for some ice cream. Go shoot some hoops.
I want this kid did right. And when you see it more in the second videos, but I saw it in the first. A dad with his son doesn't care. All the world can line up against his son, right? And you're like, I don't give a damn about that. I will.
Yeah.
You got to get over me first.
That's right.
You're going to come to my 17-year-old good boy, Nick, who's spending his weekend at a pro-life rally. And then you got all these jerks coming in his face, right? You got Nathan Phillips and the younger Indian guy that comes up there yelling the F word at right near him. Saying, this is our country, go back to Europe, blah, blah, blah. We're the original natives, go the F back to Europe. Saying garbage like this, and his buddy's standing right there, Nick's, and he just tells him, he's like, don't even say anything.
Yeah,
which just, wouldn't have been the response to young Gordon, but it's not hateful.
Yeah.
I want to defend him.
Young man, if you are watching, maybe someone's going to say, hey, you should watch this show, T. Marsh and T. Gore. If you're watching, young man, we're proud of you.
Very.
Proud of you.
Very.
And young man, do not despair on being a Catholic. What happened to you is not truly Catholic.
No,
in an ideal world, the cardinal and the bishop and the men would have rallied to you and said, don't worry, you're doing the right thing. We're protecting you.
It's a happenstance where you live, who your bishop is. If you lived in Tyler, Texas, your bishop would have done that.
Yeah.
Right? Bishop Strickland's a good man. If you Bishop Athanasius Schneider was your bishop, I mean, it's pathetic we have to go around the world.
Kazakhstan. If you were in Kazakhstan, you would have been okay.
Poland.
Poland.
Yeah, go to Kazakhstan, go to Poland. If you, you know, I don't know what Archbishop Corleone in Northern California might have done. I think he might have protected the kid. I'm giving some credit. But this is what the Catholic Church does when it's ordered properly, right? It would protect you. Don't be disillusioned by that. I mean, the kid released a statement and it's like, I don't want you to give too much ground.
Yeah.
Nick Salmon, I want you to just say, look, this is me. These are my beliefs. They're unpopular. But what is it? John chapter 4, you know, the world hated me first, so it's going to hate you. Just own that. Get ready to fight. It's what we're talking about.
We're riled up. I feel like Diamond and Silk today.
I do.
We got a diamond and silk moment. Last night. Yeah. Diamond and silk. TNT.
Well, you got to watch some of the people coming down. I mean, the conservative, these phony cons that want to be popular, want to go to the Manhattanite dinner parties.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what I'm saying.
Kiss of death.
That's what I'm saying. When you're the kind of Catholic who, you know, and I see this with Cardinal Dolan, you know, and I worry, hopefully I don't see it with Dr. Robert George. But we want to be part of all those Manhattan cocktail parties. We want to be conservative. And we've got to be able to witness to these liberal Manhattan cocktail parties, too. So we're going to jump on a young man like this to prove that we're really open-minded.
Mm-hmm. That's the phony justification used since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
The phony justification to be one of the cool kids. You know, it's like if you watch the show Frasier, Frasier's like an old smart guy that always wanted to be one of the cool kids, and his brother's all, and Niles is always saying, you want to be one of the cool kids, man. Like, this has always been a bugaboo of yours. Just own it that if you're a Christian, any kind of Christian, doing what you ought to do, Protestant or Catholic or whatever, you're not gonna be in the glitterati. The glitterati's
Yeah.
This is the wrong side. This is the devil's people, yeah, right? You're never in this world.
The
going
apostles
to be
were not
fashionable.
We're not in the Manhattan cocktail parties.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be handsome and you can't be, you know, well-spoken and you can't be fashionable in your own right, in the right of justice. But it, that really doesn't matter. That's
why
secondary.
I like being from Texas. We really don't care down here. Now, there's like the inner core of Dallas, which is basically just wannabe Manhattan, but super lame.
You Dallas know? Is a lot of transplants. Yeah, I live there, too. Yeah, so but yeah, yeah.
Taking away the inner core. I was born in Fort Worth, so we don't like Dallas. But take away the inner core of Dallas and then just totally remove Austin, Texas for what it's become. Take that out of the state. People right. here don't care. In fact, if you are famous or you're a movie star or you're a politician, we're already suspect of you and don't like you. We are prejudiced in that way.
Yeah.
And someone says, well, you know, when I lived in Manhattan, we're like, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's bad on your resume.
You say, that's cool.
Yeah, that's bad on your resume. So
right.
we're suspect of those things. So I think that's one reason why Catholicism in Texas is doing well, generally speaking, is we don't want to be at a Manhattan cocktail party.
Right.
We're suspect of that. If our bishops are like that, we don't like that. If our priests are like that, we don't like that.
Right.
Or there's an accountability there. But in the Northeast, the church is dying. Because the church tried to be like that. It doesn't work.
And in the West here, and the church typically in California, it's very disjointed because dioceses are huge. But yeah,
and California's like, oh, this guy's a Catholic and he's a movie star. Let's huddle around him. It's like, I don't know. Is he Orthodox?
Is he Orthodox? Yeah, that's all right, I care about. Right. I mean, Jim Caviezel gave a hell of a speech last year. And he's a genuinely good guy. But we got to get him off of Medjugorje. But aside from that, he's a very good dude.
Here's why I want to take it. You have a son. I have sons. The only thing that gets me down or kind of worries me is their future. And my kid brother just had his first son born a few months ago. And cute little guy. Love him. If you want to see pictures of him, check out my Instagram. Uncle Taylor and his little nephew. But we were talking about this, and that is what will happen to our sons who are going to be growing up in the next 20 years. Your little son's what, one?
He's one.
Yeah, he's one. I got him all the way up to teenagers. There is this subtle persecution. A, my sons are white. Obviously, my sons are male. And they are Catholic, so they're kind of screwed.
It's not subtle, by the way.
Yeah. They're kind of screwed. So, and then, you know, someone said, well, yeah, but it's really, I mean, really the discrimination against white male Catholic boys, young men, is really only in the area of academia and schools.
That's the only place it's institutionalized.
I know, but still, that's big.
No, that's huge. That's huge.
That sets you up for your career and your income and your place in society. Not necessarily, but for the most part.
But it's unofficial. But it's bigger than just that. That's huge. That's huge. That literally, if you look at the scores to get into schools, entry scores, you as a white male have to do just much, much better to get into the same school as any other demographic. It's really tough.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, that's institutionalized, but it's unofficially vibrant, the anti-white male, anti-Catholic white male hatred, because you got the patriarchy.
I know. So here in Texas, we see this story happening in D.C., and we're like, that's the country. That's not where we're headed. That's where we are in 2019.
Through the looking glass.
That society, the media, even Catholic priests are going to throw white young men under the bus for doing nothing other than being white, male, pro-life.
And smirking.
And I don't even know what to say. I mean, what else do you, if you're a teenage boy and someone's in your grill, you just kind of like smile awkwardly. That's a smirk, right? I mean, you can either be like, or you can kind of be like, this guy's a jerk.
Yeah, which is what he's saying. You hear people saying, what do we do?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, now, in the point you're making is, there's a spectrum of red-blooded to blue-blooded. And again, in a young 17-year-old me, that I would have handled it differently, and it would have been more confrontational. But I still would have been right. I mean, arguably, not to impugn young Sandman by even a little bit, but it might be more right to hold your ground a little bit more when you don't come bang a drum in my face, you know. And that's not just something I say as an adult. I understood.
You know what we should
right.
do, Tim? Next year we'll go to the March for Life. We'll bring drums, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
We should have drums.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to be on them yet, but we need to have drums, and we all bang them in our march to support.
How about this? How about this? Make America
holy again.
Yeah. Make America holy again.
We'll have those hats.
Fit on with the thing. Yeah. I mean, and
we'll have our mugs.
It's not too late. We'll have our Vegano stuff. We'll have our Vegano.
But then we're going to have TNT mugs. We'll have some T Marsh, T Gordon mug too. Right. And we'll have our drum.
That's right. I might not be in California by that time next year. I've been looking to get out.
Got to migrate. Great Catholic migration. And then we won't really do this, but we could go up to counter protesters and rest our drum on their arm.
Yeah, exactly.
And see what happens.
He's hitting that thing hard. And is that a war drum? I know they have,
I don't know.
In that culture, they have drums for different things or whatever. But I mean, like, yeah, he's literally, there's a great MAGA hat wearing black dude that did a great YouTube video where I got a lot of this info. And he's like, dude, he's making contact with the kid's shoulder with the drum. He's hitting it hard. This MAGA hat black guy, I forget his name. He does good work. I should throw him a shout. It's Anthony something. He's hitting him. He's not hitting him with the drumstick, but a drumstick's a real weapon. He's hitting that thing hard, and that's actually, by the way, legally speaking, you don't want to be litigious. And I think what's-his-face Phillips is actually on the hook for slander, because now this kid's been doxxed.
Yeah.
They doxxed the hell out of him. But that is a battery. A battery is any unwanted touching. If I'm pushing a shopping cart and you come up, I have it like this, right? If I'm pushing the shopping cart and you come up and you slap the shopping cart, if it's an intentional, unwanted, or offensive touching,
I hate this stuff.
But
unless you punch me in the face, I don't really think you assaulted me.
It's not, but an assault is making someone think you're going to do a battery. So batter you.
I know, but I've heard so many stories of, you know, good people being sued because they like said, "Hey, get off of me," and I push a person away, or they say, "Don't you ever say that to me," and their finger touches their shoulder, and then they get sued. And like, well you touched me, you threatened me, your finger. This is not doing anything to anyone. So I just think in America, we need to get away from this insanity.
I agree, but that's a disorder.
I honestly think two men at a bar should be able to fight each other.
I love it.
And the cops show up and like, "Oh, it's settled, cool." People shouldn't go away in handcuffs because someone insulted someone's mother and he punched him back and a few hooks were thrown and now they're like having a beer together and it's settled.
Of course.
But now everybody's got their phone out and then someone has to go to jail. It's stupid.
But here's what you're missing there though. This law is always downstream of culture, like politics.
Right.
And so the culture got super sissy and talks about you like a domestic terrorist. If you're a man and you throw fists. Right. Oh, this is only for kids. I heard someone say the other day, no civilized man. No, it happens all the time. People say outrageous things all the time. They insult your mother or the church, your mother. And you're like, "Bro, I have to hit you in the face." I mean, you don't say that. It's just I got to take this guy out. But then you can shake hands. You get all the bad blood out. If this isn't a total scumbag, he is just being wagging his tongue loosely. You get it out and you walk away. I agree. And most men who have any honor at all, they're not going to try to sue. And you can't sue for anything. You can't sue for much anyway. All you can sue for is medical bills. So there's no punitive damages. But what I'm saying about slander in this case is this poor kid, Nick Sandman, has had his life torn apart.
Yeah.
He's getting death threats by the whole country. It's like a 350 million person country. That is slander. That is real slander.
And what if he's like, "Man, I don't like this school anymore, Covington. It was a bad deal. I'm going to transfer to this other school." The other school's going to be like, "I don't know. Do we really want this kid at our school?" And see, it's screwed up.
Can't go to a public school. Now, look, people.
Oh,
people
yeah, if you go to a public school, sheesh.
He's gonna get jumped.
Yeah. So
that's a real slander case. I'm just saying, don't judge the ordered version of something by the disordered, over litigious version of something. These laws are actually working out. The legal system is remarkably efficient.
I don't
efficient.
Know. I just kind of feel
people
like
just overuse it.
Dudes can duke it out as long as there's no knives or anything like that. No shivs. Guys can duke it out and settle things. I think that that's legit.
But you and me agree, 100.0%.
Yeah, but if that happens, if someone says your mother's a whore and you take that back, no. And then there's some punches. And let's say you hit the guy, you hit him in the chest. You don't even hit. Someone has an iPhone out and now you're going to jail. That's dumb. Yeah, I mean, dumb.
But you're not going to jail for
50 years ago. That would have never happened.
That's true, but that's the culture. That's not the law.
Our culture is weak.
50 years ago, it was still against the mutual combat's always against the law. 50 years ago, it was just the culture. People would be like, come on, let these kids, let them work it out like we all, you know, hear the coaches say. And I love that. I mean, so don't peg me as the, I love dudes working it out. Oh, that's for kids. Now, even grown men need to work it out sometimes. Yeah, I mean, not often, but look, people are used to hearing us dog Catholic schools. I want to stand up for them for a second here. I mean, they're not what they should be.
We don't dog Catholic schools qua schools.
No,
we dog Catholic schools qua heresy. Yeah.
Qua heresy and qua throwing this kid under the bus. So I guess I'm doing more of the same. I was trying to take it a different direction, but you're actually right. That because I still, this principal needs to be replaced. Yep. You need to get someone
with Tim Gordon.
Stand up
Y'all should hire
kids.
Tim Gordon, Kentucky.
I'll do.
He's
I'll go
open.
To Kentucky. Yeah. I'll do it.
Strata Compton.
Yeah. That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they want is a prof straight out of Compton Community College. But I mean, so I guess I'm doing more of the same. But I want to stand up for Catholic high school kids who get a bad rap, right? They're known as if one kid, and I know it does really happen, one kid drinks or parties, which I ask my students. I strongly encourage these kids not to be partying. It's the ultimate euphemism. It's horrible. You know, it's it's really going to bacchanalias. They're horrible. But if one kid gets caught doing that, all the public school kids in the whole town go, oh, hypocrisy, the old trick of the left. Whereas the public school kids are doing this every day. They're drinking in class.
Yeah, but
you know,
I think it's fair. I think it's fair. We're Catholics.
But
we're the light of the world and the salt of the earth.
It's fair for that kid.
Yeah, for that kid.
Like,
yeah.
But no, the entire public school where I live in California, you got to come out to California. I'll show you.
I don't
you
want
why.
To.
You should come out.
I don't want to go to California.
For a visit.
I'd rather.
I don't, March for Life this weekend in San Francisco. It's live.
Oh, I'm not going to San Francisco. No.
I'm not going. Well, I'm not saying you're going to pick up a date. I'm saying you're going. I would never go to San Francisco. I'm in love with my wife. I know. But the Walk for Life is live in San Francisco. It sucks in
LA.
Oh,
I'm sure it's crazy.
It is wild. And I always hesitate to
bring. I'm just a simple
man.
I wear boots. I drive a pickup. I don't go to California.
I don't. So I'm a simple man too. But I mean, I'm looking to get out of California,
exactly.
But the Walk for Life in San Fran is, it's entertaining. It's your style of entertainment. You're a simple man,
like
but you,
well, I do want to, I think like I do want to go to DC next year. I want to do the March for Life again and maybe bring some of my teenagers.
Yeah.
I've
never been to that one.
I used to lead a group of teenage high schoolers to the March for Life. It was great fun, man. We had a good time. Go
DC.
To the mat. What'd I say?
Yeah, no, I was just asking.
DC, yeah.
You meant DC because there's so many now.
Yeah, we would go there and it was cold and man, we'd do the march and we'd have, you know, hot chocolate or coffees at a Starbucks later on and we'd go to the masses and, you know, it's fun. It's like a pro-life lock-in.
Right.
With the Catholic high school kids. It's great.
We should actually do it next year. I just want to say that the point I was making, it is important to me just say, I mean, we've been defending him for an hour, 5 minutes now, so that's fine. But I just want it to be clear that, yes, you know, Catholic school kids were the city on the hill, the light of the world. But these are also 16, 17-year-olds that it's neurologically proven.
Right.
when you, the law averages, you got a 500 kids school, right? There, there are some kids that never drank or party.
You're not going to have
kids drink or party.
Not everybody amongst the 500 is a canonized saint, for sure. For sure. And the frontal cortex isn't developed. That's not even going to happen into the 20s.
Right. So meaning the average moral, the average intellect, the average soul of those 500, because of the frontal cortex under development and all that, if your school's larger than 400, you're always going to have some ne'er-do-wells that get into trouble.
Sure.
These kids, Nick Sandman and his friends, were not from that pool. But except I want to defend even the kids that get in a little trouble at Catholic school. I want to defend Catholic school kids because I work with these kids every day. And on the average, they're good. At my school where I teach, let me give you just one example. We have something called Play Day where we bring a handicapped and mentally retarded kids from special ed programs all over the city to our private school. And the kids, I'm not just saying this, I'm hard to impress. The kids at my school are so impressive how they deal with all of these, like, really, really handicapped. I bring my handicapped daughter. The kids look forward to it. I have just girls in my class that wheel my daughter around. I don't see her for 2 hours. Just wheel her around campus. They make it like a carnival. And at my, I went to public school 11th and 12th grade, a good public school there in a good one there in Plano, a large
Texas.
One. I had the largest graduating class in all of Texas in 99. George Bush was our speaker. But every day coming back from lunch, it was a thing. We had these like different areas of the cafeteria. Most of the football players, I'm sure they regret this now. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. I'm not doxing any of them, but like they would go by the special, mentally retarded kids section, the special needs. And they would make fun of them. They would sing them happy birthday, all that. There's nothing like that. Even with the average and the common denominator in my school, there's literally not one kid making fun of the mentally retarded. I just want to defend Catholic school kids a bit. We've got a rough lot, right? They're being across the land.
We've got to support our Catholic high schoolers, man. We are hemorrhaging out our Catholic young people. Like never before. And I mentioned it before. I'll go ahead and drop it again. CatholicLifePrep.com is the program I put together. It's for Catholic young people. It's a theology apologetics curriculum that I put together through the New St. Thomas Institute. CatholicLifePrep.com. Go check it out. But I mean, that's we have an online community and we have, videos and resources for them and emails and reminders and all that. But we really need what Tim's talking about, and that is a culture that surrounds them and loves them and mentors them in solid Catholic theology and in solid Catholic piety. Like, hey, come
by
the daily.
By manly dudes, by manly teachers teaching the faith.
And also with feminine, wonderful Orthodox women, too, as examples for the young ladies and for the young men. We need all of this. And who say, hey, let's go to the March for Life, either the local one, or fly out to DC, right? And I'm sure there are some heroic people who were leading the Covington kids out to DC and taking their weekend off to invest in these kids in a pro-life activity. We have to be doing this as Catholics. We really, and again, we don't hear our bishops and our priests talk about this. We are losing our young people, and just bringing more people into America who happen to be Catholic to replace the numbers is not a good solution. We need to make sure that our Catholic young people are aware of our moral teachings, which includes pro-life, our theology, and we need to be cool to them. Support them.
Right. Right. And I'm targeting the young men because they're under special attack.
As this shows.
This Covington issue. And this shows that the numbers show it. We could do a whole thing, young men are three times more likely to commit suicide if they're from a divorce background. Girls deal with it better. Young men, Catholics and otherwise, young men are under attack and they need strong role models. And that's why I'm saying if there is some sort of divorce at home, which is Catholics divorce at roughly the same rate as everyone else, they need role models. And it's perfect to get if the mom can get the kid into a Catholic school. because then they can be going on school trips like this, spending time. If you actually had good male teachers,
right,
particularly in theology departments, they could really mentor them. And this is what I try to do. And it works out really well. And the thing is, once you make that personal connection, you know, Robert P. George is just using this as an opportunity, or was on Saturday, to sound like, oh, I'm Catholic, but I'm very fair minded. He's always trying to prove that. You don't give a damn about that. When someone's coming after a kid you're mentoring, it's like your son.
That's right.
You're like, you know, you stay away from my kid. You don't try to get the entire mob of the country. They want to talk about mob justice. There's been mob justice, you know, injustice against Catholics in this country since the outset. And, you know, it's the greatest country on earth, but this is a Protestant place where Catholics were not welcome. And I'm going to be honest, we're still not welcome. Now it's more a form of post-Enlightenment non-welcome than it is a Protestant sort of xenophobia of Catholics. Now it's more secularist. But we've never been welcome here. We've never been a fit. Jesus promised us this in John's gospel. And I just want to say, the only place you get the muscular, robust defense is usually from fathers or father figures.
That's
and
right.
This whole thing with Covington was a sham.
Or Orthodox men. I mean, I was, as you're talking about that, I remember I was at the March for Life. This would have been 08, 09-ish, right? And I was with a group of high school guys and girls. And we're marching along, and I'm like, hey, why don't we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet? I'm like, out loud? I'm like, yeah, let's do it out loud. And the guys are like, oh, okay. You know, I'm like, we're going to chant it. We're going to sing it, chant it. And the guy's like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I just start chanting the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you know? And then the guys get in, and then pretty soon we have a couple hundred people, like, all around us in the march chanting the Divine Mercy Chaplet. That's cool.
That is cool.
If you're a young man who maybe doesn't have a dad at home, or there's a divorce, or you're not so quite sure if you want to be a Catholic, whatever, and your male high school teacher's like, dude, let's lead hundreds of people in chanting the Divine Mercy Chaplet. That's cool.
Or the rosary.
That's the same thing. Like, you're back at the hotel. Deal. You're back at the hotel, and they're like, hey, let's go down to the lobby and get a bunch of, like, Oreos and, like, hang out and, like, watch a movie. And you're like, okay, well, you guys pray the rosary today? No. Well, let's pray the rosary real quick.
Right.
Okay. I mean, they're not pumped about it. I mean, these are Catholic pious guys, but that's not their first priority. But if there's an adult male who's like, hey, well, that's cool, but let's pray the rosary. Let's get our rosary in for the day.
Let's get it in first.
Yeah.
It's fast.
Or I can remember too, or like, you know, being at the shrine, there'd be confessions. I mean, like, hey, you want to go to confession? There's a guy right there. Line's pretty short.
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff that needs to happen in our Catholic communities and with our Catholic high schools.
Priests tell me. In my class, when priests come to confession to my school, they go, I've never heard. What are you telling these kids? What are you telling these kids? It's like almost every kid in your class came. I said, I just tell them hellfire's hot.
Yeah.
And I tell them it's hot. It's hot. It's real. He's like, oh, it's not about the glory of the Lord. No, that doesn't make you want to go to confession. It's true. Yeah. But that's not the time. When you're dealing with sin, you talk about hellfire's hot and real and talk about Fatima, talk about the reality of it all. And he's like, oh, I was like, yeah, trust me. Trust me, D, don't use your way. Use my way.
Yeah.
It's the Catholic way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. And you know, I have stories that make your head spin about the Catholic, the pro-life march in San Francisco when I went with my wife, nearly threw down a number of times there. But you're just trying to chant the rosary. It's a battle cry, right? You were talking about it. It's got all these actual old battle connections. Young men connect with this. They love it. Look at what we should end on this. Look at what the Covington kids were doing because they were waiting for their bus. We forgot to mention this. They're just waiting for their bus when these hateful old pieces of garbage, the African Israelites, hateful old racists, who everyone should dox and go harass those haters, came up to them and were following them around when they're just getting to their bus stop. And then they're just waiting there kind of like sitting ducks. And the kids, when the media was lying and saying they were singing something bad, they're singing their school's fight songs. That's cool because young men,
cool.
When you're trying to protect, you want to do that. How much cooler would it have been if they were chanting the Divine Mercy Chaplet or the Rosary?
Cool.
That would have been even better if you were just like, you know, Battle of Lepanto. Let's go.
Let's pray
just
the Rosary.
This Rosary. That would have been cool. But they were trying to do it to rally around and just like, oh, our bus is here. When their bus gets there, after they're being harassed by all these jerks, they go, oh, our bus is here. They start clapping because they're just walking to their bus. These are victims. We need to defend them. What happened this weekend is despicable. And it's representative of what's going on in the larger culture in America. It's despicable. It's anti-Catholic. It's anti-white. It's anti-male. And someone needs to be a man in the immediate area and stand up for these kids, like what we're trying to do. I'm across the country, right? I do it. I'd be there in a heartbeat. And don't back off, son. You stay strong. You don't back down to anyone. Like Aragorn says to the hobbits, you bow down to no one. You stand your ground. It's important. Yeah. It's important. You'll find out it's more important as you get a little bit older. But it's good you stood your ground mostly, but don't back down. Don't let anyone make you apologize or shame you. You did the right thing. You're a pro-life champ. You're there taking your time on your weekend, and you don't back down to anyone, even if they've got some stupid drum, some old guy. And I don't care if he's a veteran. I don't care. Not impressed. Yeah. I don't care. You go be a veteran, and we'll thank you for your service if you go and you provide a witness, an example to these kids, but you're being a jerk picking on a bunch of kids. You don't get away with it. You're a liar, and that guy's on the hook for slander.
Yep.
Everyone support these kids. It's a big deal. We,
and here's the deal. If we lie down on this, if we lie down on this, it's going to be the next year and the next year, and then it's going to be you and your kids.
That's right. That's right. Oh, not me, not in my backyard. Well,
not in Texas.
Well, other people's kids.
Maybe it will be in Texas in 5 years.
Right.
So we got to be real. So support our Catholic schools, support our Catholic young people. If you have a Catholic young person in your family or in your home, put your arm around them, support them.
That's right.
Be cool, but also say, hey, let's pray the rosary. You know? Yeah.
And if you go to a pro-life march, which is advisable, be prepared to have a little conflict. Don't bury your head and be like, we're going to go to the pro-life march and everyone will love us for it.
Yeah.
You know, if a principal sends his kids to a pro-life march, be like, okay, this is good. This is worthwhile risk. It's calculated risk, to use an insurance handler's term. It's a calculated risk. And yeah, there might be some blowback because there are a lot of haters out there that want to kill babies and they want to protest us protesting the killing of babies. And we'll deal with that. It's a cost of doing business.
That's right.
It's not a stupid risk. It's a calculated risk. And we'll defend our sons and our daughters who go off to this pro-life march. It is a little scary because things are wild in America in 2019. We got to defend them. And yeah, and you send your kids to a rally like this, knowing this full well. They're 17. Right. He can handle it.
He can handle it.
But he does require some defense.
That's right. You know, I'm gonna take a turn here to close up on the liturgy. Changes in liturgy. Tim, did you know that before Vatican II, before Paul VI changed the rite of confirmation, that the bishop slapped the confirmant on the face?
No.
Yeah, dude.
No. Really?
You would get confirmed, right? And the chrism would go on your forehead, and then the priest would gently slap you on the cheek.
Wow.
It was called the Alapa. It's been suppressed. I think some cool bishops will still do it, even though it's not on the books, but it was on the books. And the reason for it was to remind you that you're going into the world as a soldier of Christ. People are going to hit you in the face. Like Jesus says, when they strike your cheek, give them the other, right? So that was sort of, it was a coming of age moment. And the bishop who was the father, it's kind of like, they're coming after
you.
Be ready. I like it.
Man up.
We need it too. See, everything in the liturgy had a purpose. You don't mess with stuff, right? We don't need it. The confirmation rite worked great for, I don't know how 1500 years. We don't need to fix it. It was great as it was.
If so, it ain't broke.
Fortunately, all my kids have been confirmed in the old rite, and they all got the.
Did they?
Apparently, he gives it to them a little softer to the girls than he does the guys.
That's fine.
But it's a good reminder, right? Yes, we need to defend these young men. We need to defend all of our Catholics, but we also need to remind them of the Alapa. They're coming after you. They're coming at, they're going to hit you. They're going to get you. Right. Are you ready?
Well, you put them into these situations where they're going to get slapped a little. They could take so much, but they can't take the weight of the whole country doxing them.
Precisely.
That's what I mean.
But I'm just saying, it's a good reminder for our teenagers. I wish it were the case where we could go to our Catholic young people and say, remember when the bishop kind of gave you that little slap?
Right.
They can't anymore. They're like, no, I don't remember that.
Well, if they got a slap from the bishop, it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, 50 years ago, they used to slap. I mean, just say like that meant something.
Yeah.
That meant something.
I like
it. So again, we got to get back to our roots. Got to get back to our Roman Rite, original Roman Rite. There's good theology there. I wish we could all experience it. So Covington kids, leave us a comment. We want to hear from you.
Make America holy again. My deflated hat. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good job. Good job, son. You back down to no one.
Yeah. Back down to no one. So everybody pray the rosary. It's our weapon. We can't fully commit to it because we don't know what the future is. But Tim, I think next year, you and I, we go to the March for Life. And we do some like workshop. We got to do like a workshop somewhere at a church or a conference a hotel or something.
I like it.
Meet with the people and rally the troops and be excited about being Catholic, about who we are.
Yes. I think we can do a good job of that.
Maybe we can get that young man to come in. We can give him a handshake and a good job, young man.
Yeah. Attaboy.
Attaboy.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So, all right. Well, everybody, thanks for watching. If you enjoy our videos, please hit that like button. You hit the like button and that tells, it's dumb, but it tells YouTube that you like this video. And then therefore the bots, however Google, YouTube works, recommends this video to other people who are like you. So when you like it, it helps other people find this video. So if you found this video or other videos important, make sure you hit that like button and it kind of helps spread it around. But even better, go ahead and hit the share button. You can take this video, put it on YouTube, you can put it on Twitter. You can even text it to a friend. So share it around. And then also, of course, if you want to get more content, hit the subscribe button. And then there's a little bell. You hit the little bell. That'll notify you on your mobile device. Hey, Tim and Taylor just put up a new video on Covington Kids. And you're like, oh, great. You can watch it. Most of these videos come out Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, unless the news cycle changes or we get sick or whatever, 12 o'clock Central. And anything else you want to add, Tim?
I'm good.
All right.
Be Catholic. Be strong.
Be Catholic. Keep the faith. Pray the rosary. Be salty. Till next time. Godspeed.